The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
An old Persian proverb puts it this way: blood does not wash away blood. Muhammad Ali stated it this way: I'm a fighter. I believe in the eye for an eye business. I'm no cheek turner. I got no respect for a man who won't hit back. You kill my dog, you better hide your cat. I don't know about you, but this to me, this quote suggests a mentality of someone who believes that retribution or payback is somehow synonymous with personal honor and self-respect. And brother, while at the same time, this attitude also, perhaps even in a dangerous way, confuses revenge with justice. I mean, to kill an enemy's dog or an innocent animal, whatever it is, to get back with the person for killing your pet, that basically supports the, again, what I would consider to be the dysfunctional belief that two wrongs make a right. And of course, we know that is not true. It does not. The thing is, in that situation, the second wrong only exacerbates or worsens an already bad situation. And at the same time, it also, we would need to understand that it undermines our humanness in the situation, in this process. Excuse me. Shakespeare said, "If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge?" Shakespeare clearly thought revenge was as normal or as natural as perhaps the rising of the sun. It was just part of life, and maybe so. Maybe so. Yet I think also at the same time, we also have to consider the fact that revenge is self-destructive. Confucius said, this is a day for quotes, right? Confucius said, before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves. Gandhi seemed to agree with him when he said, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. Now, most of us have probably heard most of these quotes, and putting it together in this particular way, in this particular topic, brother, when we get right down to it, revenge seems to perhaps be one of the deepest instincts that we have as human beings. I mean, after all, we would probably all have to confess. How many of us have never said something like, I hope he gets his? Because we probably all have. I have entitled this message simply, Revenge. Webster defines revenge as the act of inflicting pain or hurt, or to avenge, or to punish. And this is usually by retribution in kind or degree. And of course, when you can think about it, isn't that really the whole intent of revenge, to do just that? I mean, that's, if you have a revenge, this person did wrong to me and therefore I'm going to do this to them. That's revenge. I mean, you know, I'm making it quite simple. Well, the fact is, the topic really is quite simple whenever you get down to it and think about it. I also want us to understand from the very beginning that revenge is not a gender-inclined or leaning feeling. We all have it. In fact, it is a universal instinct that cuts across all genders, All races, all societies, all cultures. And ladies, don't get upset with me, but some recent studies and information have shown that women tend to have higher revenge instincts than men. They tend to. Maybe not every individual, not every woman is that way, but that's what it tends to. Now, while the world says revenge is sweet, in fact, I heard this on the news, and then on the other hand, God tells us it's not. Now, you're probably wondering, why would I want to address this particular topic? Because it fits every one of us in one way or another. And there's been so much going on in the news here recently because of, we had earlier, we have a new president brought into office, and whatever your political stance, whatever your views of him, good or bad or indifferent, is not the point. There have been so many statements about, we need to do this to him. We need to do this. It's revenge. And then on one newscast, I heard them talking about revenge, and then they said, well, after all, revenge is sweet. And I go, I got to address this topic because it's not. It is not. The world says it's sweet. God says it's not. Which one is true? Or maybe what we should ask is, which one is true for us? Or then maybe even on a more personal basis, which one is true for me? And asking that, yet at the same time, we might want to ask, why do we want, or maybe why do we even need to address the topic of revenge? Simple. Because revenge is instinctive to all of our human thinking. In other words, it simply comes naturally. So today I'd like for us to consider this topic from God's point of view. First of all, I want us to realize the Bible has a great deal to say about the word revenge. In fact, the words revenge, vengeance, avenge, and all the associated words of those appear over 100 times in the King James Version of the Bible. If one word appears, I mean some word like this, appears over 100 times in the Bible, there's significant information. We need to take a look at it. And I've never given a topic on revenge before. In both the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, the words translated as revenge or vengeance or avenge have as their root meaning, and I'm not going into what those Hebrew and the Greek words are, but the idea or the sense of it is punishment. That goes right back to the definition that Webster has. And so he got it right, even from a biblical point of view. There's some kind of punishment intended with the thought of revenge. And brethren, I think that we, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, we need to understand this is very important in our understanding to the concept of why God reserves for himself the right to avenge. Because it all belongs to him. Now, man, we just take it on ourselves, but it all belongs to God. So let's take a look at this particular topic. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon warns his son not to think about repaying evil to anyone. In fact, he tells his son, rather than take things into your own hands toward an enemy, let God deal with the enemy and take care of them. Now, with that in mind, please go with me to Proverbs 20 and verse 22. Proverbs 20 and verse 22. Say you not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. So, brethren, let's understand. When someone hurts us, the natural response is anger, and it is thoughts of self-defense, and that leads to revenge. I want to hurt this person. I want to damage this person in some way for whatever we come up with how we would want to do it. In our humanity, and the fact is, just because we have God's Holy Spirit does not do away with our human nature. I'm not dealing with, in this particular message, how we deal with it other than giving it over to God. So I'm telling you, that's the sermon. Everything else is simply lanyap. It's just extra. It's just piling on to what we're going to see, what we're seeing. But in our humanity, what we tend to do is we tend to react immediately and then instinctively and maybe even violently. And this is all part of our human nature. And you go, oh, I'm not this way. We are this way, whether we recognize it or not, whether we have control over it would be really good. But the fact is, we need to be aware that it is there. Paul, the apostle, describes man's natural instincts this way. It's over in the book of Titus chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse, Titus 3 and verse 3. And I'm going to read this from the New International Version. Titus 3, verse 3, New International, NIV. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. That can include anger, revenge, all of these things that we're looking at. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's a definition of revenge. And he says, at one time we were that way. So he's implying to us, we all have it, but we don't have to react that way. And he goes on, obviously what he's saying is, and that's another topic, but it's because we have God's Holy Spirit. But do we always use that? That's another question. What we need to realize is by nature, men love to fight in war. Rather than overlooking an offense, men would rather take revenge, and they want it now. They want it quickly. Rather than forgiving wrongs, they want to hold a grudge forever. I mean, have you ever heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? And maybe if you just look at the people today, down through history and even to today, what is going on in the Middle East, look at the people there. That's what's going on to a big degree there. Now, it's another topic to go into. Who should be in the land? The answer is real clear. That's Israel. It belongs to God. He gave it to Israel, and everybody else is trespassing, and everybody else is messing in God's business. Now, that's a political statement, but that's biblical. It is another topic. Paul described man's warlike nature, I believe, very graphically for us over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3. So if you go over to Romans chapter 3 with me, Romans 3, we're going to begin in verse 14. Romans 3, verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Is it available? Yes. Do they know it? No. He's talking about it from the inward human nature of mankind. They don't have it. They would rather fight and bicker. They'd rather try and resolve it their own way. And that's bloodshed. So we need to understand that revenge comes from, you can use all kinds of different words, but I think you can summarize it with one word, and the word is pride. And a believer, who's somebody who's part of the body of Jesus Christ, a believer who is a humble person, is a person who is not going to worry about repaying evil. Is it going to possibly flare up in us because of our human nature? Yes, and we put it down because of the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving the background and talking about this subject at large, because it's there, and I want us to be aware of it, because you're going to, I believe, over time, short time, long time, in this country, you're going to hear more and more about this topic, and it's what we need to do. mean, you know, like today there's a march on Washington, D.C. I don't know the number, but they're looking at maybe as many as 1 million women. I'm not opposed to women. I'm married to one for 2 or 3 days anyway. But they're marching on it because they don't want Donald Trump in the presidency. And they want to take revenge. They want to take the presidency back. They want it's vengeful. That's the attitude. And remember what I told you? I said recent studies and indication is that women have more of a tendency toward a higher level of it than men. This kind of person knows that revenge is blinding. I'm talking about a true believer who is a humble person, who's going to even have it to come up, but they're going to put it down. They're going to know that revenge is blinding, and he or she is going to know that it can easily lead to all kinds of horrible crimes, even murder. Even murder. And as we know, the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, they're primarily, to the big extent, they are about wisdom. And we should also know that this blinding rage of revenge is going to pervert the ability to come to wise decisions in at least three different ways. Number one, it's going to observe for us to be able to observe correctly. Number two, to be able to understand correctly. And number three, for us to be able to judge correctly. We're not going to come to wise decisions if we're blinded by revenge. Just not going to happen. The point is, revenge destroys wisdom and it leads to all kinds of sinful actions. So I think we need to realize the situations that we're talking about, that I'm talking about addressing in this particular sermon today, are dealing with our personal offenses against us, and us, I mean us, on me on an individual basis, or to my family. That's primarily what where it comes from, where we see it. The topic of offenses against God are to be dealt with as the Bible directs, and I'm not really dealing with it in this particular sermon. So let's go back and we talk about it as an individual, personal offenses, and all those kind of things. Because you see, God's word is clear. Personal offenses are to be overlooked. I didn't say this is easy. I said this is what the Bible teaches. They are to be overlooked. And the Bible is very clear. Personal enemies are to be loved. That flies in the face of revenge. If you've got these down, there is no revenge. There's no reason for it because there's no need, because there's nothing to be vengeful about. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Matthew 5, 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. And actually probably a better translation is do not resist an evil person. In other words, don't come against an evil person. That's what the intent is. But whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. Muhammad Ali obviously didn't read this. Verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The fact is, it's nowhere in the Bible. It says love your neighbor. It doesn't say hate your enemy. It doesn't say that. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Where's revenge in that? There's no place for it. There's no place for it. Verse 45. So that you may be... So is not in there. I'm reading it in. But... Because if you do these things, you will be the children of your Father which is in heaven, and he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the judge, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God's in charge. To put it in the vernacular that we use, he's got it covered. He does. God's got it covered. What we need to acknowledge and what we need to accept here in this topic is these are the words spoken by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our Master. These are His words that are spoken. They're true words. And when correctly understood, this is probably, I say probably, the highest form of charity and wisdom in the world that we could have. When you really understand it, when you really boil it on out, understand what he just said there. It's not just revenge that it takes away. There's all kinds of other topics that are taken away. I'm dealing with just this one. What we see is, rather than returning evil for good, a truly God-wise person and a wise person with God's Holy Spirit is going to return good for evil. That's not natural. It's just biblical. It's just godly. Therefore, avoiding the blinding damages and dangers that we have of resentment and revenge, that's our first step. Comforting our enemies with kindness and patience follows that. And then, in doing that, what happens? God is glorified in a difficult situation. God is lifted up. It doesn't make us in ourselves good. This glorifies God because we're doing what God says. This is right, do this. We do this, God is glorified. And we already saw, we're going to receive blessings because that's what he also said. Go with me to Proverbs 25 and verse 21. Proverbs 25, verse 21. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Where's revenge in that? This isn't saying somebody that you love. This is not talking. It says, if your enemy, this is talking about personal enemies. Remember, that's what I was saying earlier. Go with me to Leviticus. We're going to read three or four different verses along this line to get to really get this point. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You're going to do this because of who God is. God has spoken. This is the way to do it. There is no other way that it makes it right. Let's go to two places now in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Oh, so it's not just to the church. It's not just to our family. It says to all men. This is to everyone. This is to be our attitude. And let me show you one more in this context. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but on the other wise, blessing. Knowing that you are therefore called, that you would receive a blessing. In other words, you do it this way, there's going to be this blessing that God is going to give. Remember, God is glorified. We're going to receive blessings as a result of having that attitude, having that heart, having that mindset, following what is good. Brethren, we should never allow revenge to enter into our thinking. Not even when some evil happens to, I'm going to say, to an enemy from some other source. Not from us, but even from somebody else. We shouldn't even let it come into our mind, even if something evil comes to another person, an enemy. I mean, after all, I hope that we all understand this. God condemns any rejoicing when our enemies fall. That's what he tells us. He says, don't do that. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Rejoice not when your enemy falls. That's about as plain as you can get. It's not a suggestion. This is God's way. Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. I hope he gets what's coming to him. Remember, I asked, how many of us are not guilty of that kind of statement? You know, so if we've never made the statement, this message isn't for you. If we've made this statement, then it's talking to us. That's the point. Verse 18, lest the Lord see it and it displease him. He's unhappy with us rejoicing whenever they fell or they stumble. And he turns away his wrath from him. Where's he going to turn it away from him, and what's he going to do with it? He's going to come after us with it because we should know better. We're his people. Now, as I alluded to earlier, we please know that all sinful thoughts against another are some form of murder, can be summarized in that way. So this makes it pretty bad. You know, like, well, I'm vengeful. I want him to get what he's wanting. What do we want him to get? The intent of the heart in that kind of statement is we want him to be dead. That's the ultimate. Go with me to Proverbs 5, verse 21. We're going to read 21 and 22. Proverbs 5, 21. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, it is an attitude of some contempt toward him, perhaps even a revenge, getting what is due to him, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So here, let's ask a few questions. These are personal questions that we need to ask ourselves. Who are our enemies today? That was on an individual basis. We need to address this. Who are enemies today? Are there any that we resent? Are we hiding a grudge or thoughts of revenge against anyone? Now, we need to be honest with ourselves and ask these. Is it maybe our spouse or a colleague or a boss at work or our neighbor or another member of the body of Jesus Christ? Again, brethren, God's word is very clear. We are to confess our sins to God. And then we are to look for opportunities to take care of those that we might have answered yes to. Yes, I have revenge against this person or that person or anybody that you may have come up with, you know, secretly in your own mind. We're not standing up and confessing this before to one another. This is before God. You know, this is to God. But we need to confess that. And we need to look for ways, for opportunity to take care of those that we may have said yes toward. In fact, God's word tells us that we are to treat them as we want them to treat us, not as they have treated us. And that includes whether it be real or imagined, that we're to treat them the way we want them to treat us. We should be treating them that way. In fact, I'm going to show you. It's in Luke 6, beginning in verse 27. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, isn't this what I've been talking about? And he answers, yeah, this is what we're seeing. Verse 29. And unto him that smites you on the right cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Now, this is talking about, you know, your coat, your outer coat, and all of these kinds of things. It's talking about if someone forces you and someone is trying to do these things, whatever, you do it. I saw a this came to my mind. Weird, sometime thinking stuff comes in. I've only seen this bumper sticker in one place, and I'll tell you where it was. It was in Mobile, Alabama. That may tell you something. It says, if you free something you love and you turn it loose, if it doesn't come back, hunt it down and kill it. Now, that's in the heart of every person. You know, obviously you thought I was going to say, well, you forgive them, right? No, it says hunt them down and kill them. It says don't do that. Don't do this. Verse 30, give to every man that asks of you and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. It didn't say as they do to you. It says as you would want them. This is the way you treat them. How do you want to be treated? Treat everybody that way. This is what it's getting across. It takes all revenge. It takes all of these negative things away. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And he goes on, he says these things. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But here's where he says, this is where the heart of Jesus Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ is in us. It's supposed to be. But love you your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And as a result of having this mind of Jesus Christ in us, be you therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. How would God do it? How did Jesus do it? What we're seeing is true believers. They have the mindset, they have the heart, they have the willingness, and they do it. They pass over others' personal transgressions. And what we need to understand is this is wisdom. This is godly wisdom. This is a height of godly wisdom at least on this particular topic where we're looking at. Proverbs 19 in verse 11. Proverbs 19 in verse 11. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression or to pass over an offense. Are we ever the victim of somebody else's offenses against us? Of course we are. Human nature says, get it back, you know, go after him tooth and nail. No, it's not. It's not what we do. This is a type of person that is being described as one who is not moved, especially to any type of anger or revenge by another person's offenses. They are upright. They are righteous in living this godly way of life. To be troubled or to be distracted or to be troubled by such minor and insignificant things. When you really think about it in the big scheme of the plan of God and where we're going to be and the rewards we're going to receive for living this godly way of life, this cannot even come into comparison. So this is really minor and insignificant. But to us on the human level, this is big. Hatfield and McCoy's. That feud went on for somewhere around 50-something years. Over nothing. We read about it now in history. You can read it. You can go on the line and you can read it. I actually did. I'm not going to tell you about it because it's boring. But you can go back and you read the history of what it was all over. And we look at it and you go, and they did what? And this was passed on from generation to the next over this? That's where we would be. 1 Peter 2 and verse 23. 1 Peter 2, 23. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Who, when he, Jesus, was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He just simply committed himself to God. You know, this is who I want to be like. This is not who I want to be like. I want to be this way. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. 4 and 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We're doing this and committing ourselves to God. We're giving ourselves totally over to God. Yeah, do we have this as part of our human nature? Yes. What do we do with it? We give the whole situation over to God. Hopefully, we see that even if wronged, without a doubt, the obvious best way to handle revenge is to leave the enemies to God. I mean, after all, you think about it, he is the fairest way. He knows exactly how to do with this. Whatever they need, that's what he's going to do. If he's going to do something now or do something later, whatever it is, it's the best way. And he also stated that he's going to handle it for us as his children. So why are we messing and try and get involved in it ourselves? Luke 18 and verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he shall avenge speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, that's a big topic in itself, but I'm going to kind of summarize it in a one quick little statement. He's asking, is he going to find anyone that's actually living this way of life, doing this? That's how big a topic this is. And we want to go, oh, okay, well, this is not a big topic. It's a huge topic. For Jesus Christ to ask, is he going to find faith on the earth? Somebody going to be doing this? Now, it's a bigger topic than just narrowing it down to this, but that's included. That's in the context. So, brother, what do we do if we determine that we have vengeful thoughts? I'm trying to narrow this down to as simple as I can get. The first thing is we have faith and trust in God because we know that he's always going to take care of his own. And there should be no other point. We give it to God. But I have a second point. The second thing is, and I have a list of four or five of them here. Number one is confess our sins and weaknesses to God. If you come to, see, the question is, what do we do if we determine that we have vengeful thoughts? What do we do? Well, the first one is we realize we have to have faith and we turn it over to God because he's always going to take care of us because we are his people. And then the second listing is we confess our sins and our weaknesses to God. The second one is throw ourselves upon his mercy. The third one is we ask for the necessary strength to be able to do so. The next one is we start praying for our enemies. Right there, that's where the rubber meets the road. This is where, the thing, separates the men from the boys. And the other one is to seek opportunities to do good for them, to or for the enemy. That is so foreign. That is so far into our human thinking. And brethren, when we consider this course of action that I'm talking about, doing these things, we come to realize this is both wisdom and this is the will of God. This is the wise way of doing it, and it is, after all, it's the will of God. This is what God wants us to do. How can we improve on what God wants us to do? Now, I also understand that it is tempting to try to take the role of God. I mean, seeking to punish those that we feel deserve it. We've already seen that's not ours, that's God's, but that's what we want to do, right? That's, we have to admit that. And yet, brethren, the thing is, because we are, you may want to forgive me using it this way, because we are sinful beings, it is impossible for us to take revenge with any type of pure motives. That's why it's His. That's why it's God's. We read this earlier, but it stated back in, you know, one of the books of the law, the Pentateuch, Leviticus 19, verse 17, I mean, verse 19, verse 18, it says, "You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love the neighbor as yourself, because I am the Lord." This is what God wants. This is what He's telling us. This is what I want you, as my people, to do. It's wisdom and it's the will of God. As believers, we are also to follow Jesus' command to love your neighbors and pray for those who persecute you. That's what He told us. Oh, He didn't really mean that. Well, He actually meant just that. Matthew 5. Verse 43, Matthew 5, 43. This is the second place I've already read something like this. This is another one, Matthew 5, verse 43. "You have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them which curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Wow. That's like anybody, it's a list of like anybody that does anything wrong to you. This is what you do. And when we do it this way, we will be leaving the vengeance to God. We're not trying to do God's job. When we get in and we want, well, I want this person to be, I want him to catch it because I want him to, we're doing God's job. Now, we would never think, if we thought it through to that, we would probably never want to do that. But I'm kind of blowing it all away. That's what we're doing. So let me try and bring this to a conclusion. You heard me say try. Bring this to a conclusion. So go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 19. Romans 12 and verse 19. And I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Romans 12, 19. "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written," and this comes from Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And brethren, what I want us all to understand and to bring this really out forefront into our thinking and realization, this is a fundamental command that Paul tells us from the words of God. Vengeance does not belong to us. It belongs to God. So please understand, brethren, when we try to take and get revenge, we are showing that we don't trust God to guarantee that justice will finally be done. We're going to take matters into our own hands. Who are we taking matters into our own hands from? Man or from God? It doesn't belong to man. It belongs to God. By taking vengeance ourselves, it is though we are trying to take God's seat on the throne, making ourselves the ruler. Therefore, brethren, we must trust God. Vengeance is His to repay. Now go with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. I'm going to read this from the NIV. 1 Peter 3 verse 8. "Finally, all of you be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this end, you were called." That's a huge thing to realization, you know, whenever we want your revenge. We have been called that we will not take revenge on ourselves, to ourselves. It's God's job. It's God's business. Let God deal with them. What we're to do is we're to do good to these people who are doing things like this. We're to pray for them. We're to look for opportunities to serve them and to bless them. And I know that is so foreign to our human thinking. That's what God says. Because you were called so that you might inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must. I didn't write this. I just love this translation in this way. I don't use it for a lot of verses, but this was good. They must seek peace and pursue it. So, brother, let's all leave this up to God. I mean, after all, he commands us to not avenge ourselves. After all, that is his responsibility. Hopefully enough said. So whatever we're going to hear, go back and think of these things. We're to be doing good, not following what the world is going to be doing. God is in charge. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless you. You are so blessed. We are so blessed that God is our God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Happy Sabbath to you all. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.